Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WAMS Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and Queen's Fat Bottom Girls kick the show off today. Very appropriately, because joining us on the program is Steve Walder from Fat Guy, Thin Guy, who says he's changing the world pound by pound. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Burke. How's it going?
Steve, I have to get started by talking about exactly where you're from. It's not exactly the place that people think about when they think of losing weight and being healthy. You're a Milwaukee, Wisconsin guy.
Oh, yeah, my entire life. That is correct. Growing up in Beertown, USA, home of cheese and bratwurst and all those other wonderful things that aren't best for someone's waistline or your scale. So I have lived that life all of my 41 years now, and decided about a year and a half ago was finally start time to make some serious changes. I didn't want to die by the time I was 50.
Now, Steve, you and I have known each other for some time, and you told me that you were always struggling with your weight, even as a kid. Give me an idea when you were a youngster, say 10, 12 years old. How big a kid were you?
Yeah. Well, I was always the fat kid growing up. Up until probably the time that I was about 5 or 6, I might have been somewhat normal early on in my early years. And then the weight rapidly started piling on around the age of 5 or 6. And I topped the scales at 200 pounds when I was 12 years old. I was that fat kid who in school, if you were even lucky enough to get picked for any of the teams during playground time, you were always the last person to be picked. And everybody just kind of rolled their eyes and looked. There's had to pick you because you were the last one there. And it was one of those things where I was the fat kid all my life. I had a grandmother who yelled at me at the age of 12 or 13 for breaking the springs on one of her sofas because I was so fat. And I make a point of not using vague terms like heavy, husky, chunky. I did that when I was younger, and came to the reality as I got older. It's like, no, I'm fat, and it's helped me a lot to come to terms with that situation.
Now, a lot of people, though, Steve, would say that using the words themselves, just saying I'm a fat guy, you're a fat guy, that's pretty insensitive in the politically incorrect world of 2008. What say you?
I say life is tough, get a helmet. We're in a situation that the United States is one of the most obese nations in the world. I live in one of the most obese states in the country. And I know that a lot of people do like to mince the words, and I've just decided, especially for me and for the message that I'm trying to deliver to people, that being fat is not anything to be ashamed of. It's just reality. If you're rich, if you're poor, if you're fat, you're thin, it's just reality. And for me, it's a way to talk to people and let people know, hey, it's a reality and it's okay. And once you realize that and come to terms with it, it will make it much easier for you to begin overcoming that challenge.
Our guest is Steve Walder from Fat Guy, Thin Guy. And if you'd like to be a part of the program, the number to call today for WAMS is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. So as a 12-year-old kid, you were 200 pounds. And
yep.
What does that do to a child's psyche as you look at it in the rearview mirror?
Well, I realize now that one of the reasons that I've been fat all my life since childhood, never coming to terms with the situation, for me to say that there wasn't some additional emotional baggage and challenge that went along with being fat ever since I was a child, I have to say that definitely has an impact on you as an adult. And you go into adulthood, and hence the term for the book that I'm writing and the program that I'm creating, Fat Guy, Thin Guy. You go into adulthood convinced that you're a fat person, and that's just who you are. And there is no difference. You don't your reality is such that you just have been fat, are fat, always will be fat, and your mindset is such that you just are. If you are just one of the fat people, there are the thin people, there are the fat people. Just there are many people out there. There are the rich people and the poor people, and so it's one of those things where I realized that it just carried with me into adulthood, and I never. You don't even realize that you're the elephant in the room until you look around and, there is a 400-pound elephant in the room and you're it because you don't see yourself standing there.
Oh, geez.
And that's what I was. I mean, I tipped the scale in excess of 400 pounds by the time I was in my 30s. Had struggled with much of the weight and exercise and fat issues that people do through their 20s and 30s, thinking I'm going to change some little thing and it's going to suddenly make me thin, and that's not what it is. I came to the realization that it's 99% of it is mental. It was in my brain that I was a fat person. And until I got past that and flipped that switch to becoming a thin person, nothing was ever going to change physically with my body.
And was that your heaviest point at 400 pounds?
Yeah, and the one thing I regret about the current situation, Burke, is I never actually weighed myself when I was over 400. I know I was over 400 because I went to scales that would go to 400 and they would error out. So, the scale would max at 400 or 420 pounds and it wouldn't weigh me. So
when
I
get to that point, you have to go to get a special scale just to find out how much you weigh.
That's exactly it. I'm glad you brought up the concept of scales came up. One of the big things that I learned is you need to make the scale your friend. For a long time, I was terrified of the scale, didn't want to get on one. I knew that no normal scale, quote-unquote normal scale, would weigh me properly. You either have to go to a bariatric center or an obesity clinic for them to weigh you. I realized that I was super heavy when I had a job that required me to walk through an industrial plant, and I stood on a scale that went up to 1,000 pounds, and when I saw that thing closing in on over 400 and into the 500 mark, and this thing went in 10-pound increments, so because they were weighing such incredible weights, I realized at that point the scale was my enemy, and I realized I needed to make the scale my friend.
Steve Wallner is our guest today. We're talking about weight loss. He's the founder of Fat Guy, Thin Guy. Steve, can we take a phone call for you?
Absolutely.
Hi, you're on the air on WAMS Radio, and you're on with Steve Wallner. Hello.
Next thing I want to talk about is baby
boomers. Hello, caller. Oh, we can't hear him. Steve, let me ask you, as a regular guy, and you're not a doctor, you're not a nutritionist, what personally are you doing to lose the fat, and what things could our listeners take away that might help them?
Sure. Well, one of the reasons that to answer your question in a slightly roundabout way, I realize there are lots of fat loss experts and gurus out there. There are lots of physical fitness people, and as you just rightfully pointed out, I'm not a physician. I'm not a certified personal trainer yet, although that is one of my longer-term goals. My challenge has always been with so many of the quote-unquote weight loss experts, gurus, et cetera, is that they've never actually been there.
Right.
They never actually carried around the real-life 200 or 250-pound fat suit for years or, in my case, decades. And it's very easy for them. My challenge from listening to those people was it's very easy for them to talk about something they've never actually had to experience. They know all about the diet and the quote-unquote the diet and the exercise, eating right and exercising, et cetera, but they do not understand what it's like in that position. And that was always one of my challenges. As far as what I'm doing, I am listening to a lot of the experts. I mean, I do consult with doctors and nurses. I have lots of books and tapes and things on the various weight loss programs. For me particularly, again, the beginning thing is the mental switch, realizing that you are not a fat person. You are simply a thin person whose excess fat has not yet been shed from your body. And once you get to that point, you realize that you need to start acting, thinking, and conducting your life as a thin person. I challenge anybody to just start putting things into reality terms. If you consider yourself a fat person, if you are a fat person, go to a party sometime the next time you're at a cocktail party and watch what the thin people are eating and drinking compared to what you might be eating or drinking. And you will notice a vast, vast difference in the number of times, for example, that they go to the snack table and what they put on their snack plate and how much time they're there versus how much time you as a fat person are there. Little things like that. And all the little things do add up. It becomes a mental challenge, really, to think differently than you have probably thought during most of your entire life. I am at the point now where I have done it enough. Exercise is fun. I actually look forward to it. It's one of those things where, I make smarter decisions in the grocery stores.
Right.
I'm doing all the things that all of us know we should be doing. We just don't do them. And so when it's making the choice for the slightly lower fat or lower sodium brand of something in the store, or choosing to purchase that head of lettuce that maybe you normally would have bypassed, and making a very healthy meal, you know, it's all the things that you know to do, that I know to do, and yet it's choices that we don't make. And for me, the reason I never made those choices was I was not thinking as a thin person thinks. I wasn't acting as a thin person acts. I wasn't doing the things a thin person does. One of my favorite stories is of a woman who asked, you know, I'm trying to lose weight. I want to get in shape. I want to get healthy. And I can't figure out what a thin person, you know, she lived in her car. Basically, she was an on-the-road salesperson. And she said, I can't figure out what sorts of snacks a thin person keeps in their car to eat. Well, right there, you know, she's not thinking as a thin person. She's thinking as a fat person.
Sure.
And to stop and stare at that person and then say, do you realize what you just said? Thin people don't keep snacks in their cars to eat. And it's that diametric switch, that complete different way of thinking is where it all ends up stemming from. The best diet and exercise program in the world will fail miserably unless and until the person who's participating in it realizes that it's not just something I'm doing for the next few weeks or months. It's going to be, this is the way my life is going to be until the day I die.
And you have to get your head in the game. Steve Waldner is the guy, fat guy, thin guy, and he joins us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, home of beer, bratwurst, and cheese today. So, you know, if Steve can do it, you can do it too. And if you'd like to call in and be a part of the program, 718-506-1944 on WAMS Radio. And Jay is on the line. Hi, Jay, you're on with Steve Waldner from Fat Guy, Thin Guy.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, I'm super. Thanks for calling in.
I just had a question real quick. What do you think of gastric bypass or any of the weight loss drugs out there? Do they work?
My first response to that, as Burke brought up, is gastric bypass. That to me is something between a person and their physician. It's not something I would ever opt for personally unless a doctor literally told me that unless I did this, I was going to die. I do encourage people to talk to their doctors, their nurses, their nutritionists, whatever sort of professional advice they like to seek out. To me, my attitude is I got myself in this situation. I'm going to get myself out of it. And I believe that in some cases they do work. We see all the time people who are successful stories who lose a ton of weight on gastric bypass. The other thing I do want to remind people, you know, remind you of, is that gastric bypass does fail, and there are people who die. And I'll tell you what, I would rather die on a treadmill than die from a doctor cutting me open.
Jay, are you a big guy?
I'm a little bit overweight, I would say that. That's why I was kind of curious about some of these weight loss drugs as well.
Sure.
I've been looking into them, and it's something I haven't decided whether I want to take that step or whether I should just keep, you know, trying to work out a little bit.
It's Jay, can I ask you, how old are you?
I'm 31.
You're 31, so you're 10 years younger than I am. I really didn't start doing anything about my weight seriously until I was in my mid to late 30s. And I, up until that point, when I did try things, I took tons of different weight loss supplements. My own personal feeling is there's enough in nature, and you see enough example of thin people and thin creatures, that weight loss supplements aren't necessary. If you choose to add them to your diet and you want to put them into your exercise and food regimen, then I guess that's your choice. I really don't take any weight loss supplements at all. I do take natural nutraceuticals. I take vitamins. I take natural supplements, but I don't take anything that wouldn't otherwise normally just be found in a natural situation. So vitamins and things of that nature I do take, and That's about the extent of it for me.
Now, Jay, if somebody said, look, you're a fat guy, how would you feel about that?
I've had that told to me before, and it's not a very good feeling.
Right, right, exactly. I believe me, I know how that is. I have been called fat my entire life, and it came to me personally. I embrace the fact that I'm fat, and yet if I want to do something about it, it was totally up to me to do something about it. The other thing I realized is that I've got some friends, and I don't know if you're in the situation, Jay, but I was and still am in the situation where I have some friends who are extremely heavy, a couple of guys that weigh more than I do. Both of them are over 400 pounds, and I really look at it as, for me, another challenge that perhaps I will inspire them to make a change in their life when they see that this guy, who could, for years I was the one heavier than they are. I was bigger than them. And they started gaining weight and, you know, doing the unhealthy things. And then I started losing the weight, and now they both weigh more than I do. And I look at it like these people who are in my life, I'm hoping really that they'll see the change that I'm making, and they will, embrace it, and maybe I can inspire them to do something and save their lives, because they're friends that I love dearly, and I'd hate to see something happen to them.
Jay, thanks for calling in today.
Thank you.
Steve Wallner's our guest with Fat Guy, Thin Guy, and let's get down to the nitty-gritty. You got somewhere north of 400 pounds. Where are you right now?
Correct. I'm just closing in on the 300 mark. I'll be below 300 very shortly, actually. As I say, my scale is now my friend, and I'd like to go back to that scale situation a bit. Briefly, I weigh myself every day. I don't beat myself up if I hit a plateau or something happens negatively towards my goal. I just realize that it's a goal and it's an ongoing struggle, and it, and I will get there eventually. One of the things I first did, and I think I may have told you this previously, Burke, in one of our conversations, you know, when I first decided to bite the bullet and get real about my situation, was I had to buy a scale that went up to 400 pounds.
Right.
And initially I would weigh myself, and I couldn't even weigh myself on the scale. It would just give me the EE error message because I knew. And then one day I was suddenly below 400. And, 399.2 was a glorious day. and how many people would love to say they'd love to see 399 on their scale?
No kidding. Wow.
Okay. And so as things started happening, the weight started coming off, I realized the scale's my friend. And one of the things that I did was I took my weight, and Jay, if you're still listening, I'd encourage you to do this and just be real, and you'll find a lot of support, believe me, when this happens. Take your weight, and I bought a really nice scale that, you know, measures my body fat percentage. As I told you, Burke, I named him Slim, and I drew a big smiley face on him, so every day when I wake up in the morning, Slim has got a big grin on his face to see me get on the scale. And I emailed my weight and my body fat percentage to everybody that I knew. So there was no hiding it. There was
right.
No playing games. And I just got on the email one day, and I said, just to all let you all know, I'm in the process of doing something. Hope to get your support and encouragement, and I'm sad to say this is what my current weight and body fat is, and it will change. And I got so many positive responses from people saying, good job, way to put it out there, glad to hear you're doing this. It was encouraging, and it helps to have that sort of feedback. And I'm somewhat of a social maven in my neighborhood and community. And when I see people that are always asking me, how are you doing? How are things going? You're looking great. I get so much more positive feedback now that people know that I'm making the effort to do something. So that's a huge step right there.
Do you have a personal fat loss goal, exactly where you want to be and when you
right.
want to get there?
Well, I initially did set a goal, and before giving that exact answer, I decided to set a bigger goal. Rather than a goal of something that my scale says, how about a goal of something that I want to be able to do?
Okay.
A goal, and so I decided, due to some friends of mine who invited me to do this, that in January of 2010, I needed to be in good enough shape to climb Africa's Mount Kilimanjaro. And now Mount Kilimanjaro is not the tallest nor the toughest mountain in the world to climb. It's really just a really strong 7 or 8 day hike. It's just a really heavy duty hike for 7 or 8 days and going up an altitude that's pretty darn high. And so I realized I needed to be in shape for that. And when I saw the vast majority of people who were climbing Kilimanjaro, I realized I really needed to be in good shape for that. So
absolutely.
At this point, the ultimate goal is a body fat percentage of under 20% and or my total body weight of under 200 pounds. So, and I feel that will be that's an attainable goal in the next. I have over still over a year to do it, but I plan on being there a lot sooner than that. I'm hiking every day. Wear a backpack that has weights on it to try to simulate some of the things we're going to encounter on Kilimanjaro. And it's you know, and I will tell you, Burke, it's not difficult. It's just different. And that goes back to the whole mindset thing. I walked around for years convinced that I'm a fat guy. That's just how I thought. I'm fat. It's who I am. It's my life. And like so many things in life, you know, just like when you're a little kid and you're learning to ride a bicycle for the very first time, it seems impossible. You know, dad's running behind you trying to hold you up. You maybe have the training wheels on. You're crashing to the ground. And you suddenly realize once you can do it, it wasn't difficult. It was different. You were learning a different way of moving. Well, becoming a thin person is a different way of living. I hate the word diet. I hate the word diet for one reason. The first three letters in that word spell die.
Right. Right, sure.
You know, even though the origin of the word is actually a fairly positive word in our westernized English version of it, the word diet, there was actually a great book that came out years ago, which the phrase has now been adopted by many people, including myself, which is don't diet, live it. And it's really a way of just saying this is just the new you. This is what you're going to be. I was a fat person for the first 35 to 40 years of my life, not anymore. Now I'm that thin person, and it's just a way of living my life. And there are lifestyle changes, little lifestyle changes, besides the big ones of exercise and eating right. There are little lifestyle changes you can make as well.
I can tell from your energy and your enthusiasm, you're going to get there. You're going to climb that Mount Kilimanjaro in January of 2010. You're already halfway there to your weight loss goal. Now, before we run out of time, if folks want to get in touch with you and exchange stories and be a part of this fat guy, thin guy movement, for lack of a better term, what's the best way to track you down, Steve, and interface with you?
Yeah, absolutely. This email may change, but it's the best one to get a hold of me right now. We are in the process of doing fatguythinguy.com. The email, the website is in progress. So if they go there now, they're just going to see under construction and that sort of thing. And I'm in the process of writing the book, Fat Guy, Thin Guy, and the number 1 at yahoo.com is an email that people can get a hold of me at. And it's all one word, Fat Guy, Thin Guy, 1, the number 1.
Fat Guy, Thin Guy, the numeral 1 at yahoo.com. If you'd like to talk with Steve Wallner from Fat Guy, Thin Guy, thanks for being a part of the program today.
Absolutely, Brooke. It's my pleasure. And like we say, you know, changing the world a pound at a time, pound by pound, and don't diet, live it.
Are you going to take me home tonight? Down beside that red firelight.
Steve Wallner, our guest from Fat Guy, Thin Guy, is available at Fat Guy, Thin Guy, the numeral 1, at yahoo.com. I'm Burke Allen, WAMS Radio. Thanks for listening.